Morning. Today's Daf in Avodah Zarah is Lamed Zayin. We are Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Our discussion today is going to just quickly wrap up yesterday's talk in the Gemara regarding the Gzera that was made on account of the various concerns of separation, need for separation between us and the Goyim in order to prevent intermarriage. So the Gemara yesterday started off on a discussion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and his based in being Matar Shemen. They permitted the oil, and it just led to a discussion in the Gemara in terms of how could it be that he could be Matar the oil? Who was the one who made the Gzera to begin with? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of who set up the Gzera and why was the Gzera set up? Rav says it goes all the way back to the time of Daniel, and between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, where Daniel felt the need to create further separation between Jew and non-Jew, especially as we're out in the Galus. So therefore, he made a gzera on the oil. And Shmuel says, no, it has to do with Tarfus. It has nothing to do with Chasus, but rather a question of whether or not the taste that when they put their oil in their kalim, the taste that is imparted from the kalim into the oil is the consideration that's a concern. And it just led the Gemara yesterday to a discussion in terms of who is responsible for making such a gzera. In the course of the discussion yesterday, we were trying to basically get a good handle on who made what gzera. So if you remember now on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, so the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav that the bread and the oil and the wine and the daughters are all part of Shmona Sadavar. They're all part of the 18 anatomy. We know, as per the Gemara in Shabbos, that the students of Shammai and Hillel got together in an attic, and they hammered out, basically, it was a major debate, but eventually they hammered out that there were 18 gzeras that were going to be enacted. And these enactments that were done by Shammai and by the students of Shammai and Hillel were so comprehensive that the Gemara says that this is one of those gzeras. And basically, we tried to figure out yesterday what exactly was the gzera as it relates to Bnei Sam, what exactly was it regarding the daughters, because as the Gemara progressively pointed out, that if we're talking about intermarriage is an Issa D'Oraisa. And intermarriage, it's not just between us and the seven nations, although that's a simple pshat in the Pesukim, but as it's the opinion of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that intermarriage between us and all the non-Jews is an Issa D'Oraisa. And if we're talking about just Bia, and not Iznus, and not actual marriage, so that also is an Issa D'Oraisa. And the Gemara points out, and even if you're going to tell me that is only talking about Farhesi, and that's not talking about Bitsina. So the Gemara says, no, Tsina is also Aser. Even Znus done privately between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, that also is Aser, although it's not an Issa D'Oraisa, but that is an ancient Gzera that takes us back to the Chashmonaim. And we know the Chashmonaim were before Shammai and Hillel, so it can't be that as well. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Chashmonaim were Asering Bia. The Gemara says that the new Isser that was introduced by the students of Shammai and Hillel, well, that had to do with just Yichud. And so this is where we're going to pick it up in the Gemara. Ki Gazru Beis Dino Shel Chashmonai. We are on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and it is the first wide line on the Amud. So the Gemara starts off now. Ki Gazru Beis Dino Shel Chashmonai. Biav Yichud Lo, not Yichud. The Asu Inu Gazru Afilu Yichud, and they came along and they were asking even seclusion. So the Gemara says Yichud Nami Beis Dino Shel David Gazru. The Gemara says seclusion. The answer of seclusion goes back to the Beis Din of David. The Amar Rav Yehuda Boser Shah Gazal Yichud. So at that moment they were asking Yichud. After what moment? So in the unfortunate incident of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar secluded with one another, and Amnon took advantage of the situation, violated his very own sister, and so as a result of that, the Beis Din made a gzera of seclusion. Amri Asim Yichud Debas Yisrael, Vayichud Avaris Kochavim Lo, Vasu Inu, Gazru Afil HaYichud Avaris Kochavim. So the Gemara says, now, when it comes to the Beis Din of David HaMelech, that was an Isser Yichud between Jew and Jew. What Hillel and Shammai and Yudchez Dover, what they added was yichud between Jew and non-Jew. The Gemara says, no, that can't be. Yichud devasis hol daraisahi. What are you talking about? So, the iser of secluding oneself with a Jewish woman is not an iser darabanan, that's an iser daraisa. The Gemara over here has an allusion to Yichud in the Torah, meaning the Gemara is assuming right now that it is an Issa Torah, even though the Torah never actually articulates it clearly, but still there is a remez, there's an allusion to it, and the Gemara assumes that's an Issa Daraisa. Shenemar ki yisischa achicha ben imecha, if your brother were to turn you aside, were to turn you astray, she tried to get you to follow idolatry. Now the formulation of the pasuk is strange. Ben imecha. He's your brother, you know who he is? He's your mother's son. Okay, mother's son, that's strange, meaning your father's son also is your brother. So, v'chi ben eim mesis, ben av eino mesis, ela ben misyached, im imo ben achir misyached, im kol araisha betorah. So the Gemara says, what we're learning out from this pasuk, it's a remez, what we're learning out from this pasuk is that a man can be alone, secluded with his mother, meaning there's no yetzer hara between a man and his own mother. So the but when it comes to the other arayos, even the ones where the Yetzer Hara has been certainly impaired, but still, in other words, there's an Yetzer Yechud with any of the other of the arayos in the Torah.
How do you get it from this pasuk? I'm not sure what's the connection.
It's loose. It's a remez. It's a loose connection. Ben imecha, meaning that just by simple fact of the Torah, that the Torah you chooses the way to describe your brother as ben imecha. He's the son of your mother. So in other words, that he could be alone with his mother. He happens to be your mother as well. That's all. It's a loose connection. It's not, the Torah does not state it clearly. So the, in kol araisha b'torah, yichud araisa deishas ish. So the Gemara says, no. When it comes to yichud araisa, that is with a married woman. Asa David, v'gaz rafi'la yichud d'pnuya. And what David comes along and David says is that, and when I say David, we mean the Beis Din of David, is that there's not only going to be an isra yichud on a married woman, but even on a penuyah, even on a single woman. And then comes along the court of Beisil and Beishamai, and they made the gzera even on seclusion with a non-Jewish woman. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now basically to the end of this progression of the Gemara. So basically what we have now traced in this Gemara are the various Isuri Daraisa and Isuri Darabanan that would be preventative in nature, so that a man would not become seduced by his yetzer hara.
What about if I tell her that the gay captain in the world, the yichud there also? No?
Well, there's a heter. There, the Torah gives a heter. In other words, you're right. Under normal circumstances, that would be out, sir. And the Torah gives a special dispensation, considering the circumstances.
But the
results is a bit sort of hard. Okay, right. Now, in the statement that we quoted earlier in the daf, meaning go back to yesterday's daf, so another enactment that was made, and the Gemara, the way the Gemara formulated it was really ambiguous. They made a gzera of something because of something. Okay, that obviously needs clarification, meaning it's nice that we're speaking. You know, we want to speak in a nice language, but at the same time, also we want to know, we want to understand what it's talking about. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yisa Gazru Al Tinoko VeKochavim Sheitame Beziva. So a Tinoko VeKochavim, even though the Gemara uses the word baby, but it means a child, the child of a, and you'll see we'll explain the ages in just a moment, but a child of a non-Jew, meaning a non-Jewish child, is going to give off to Maziva. Now again, like I said yesterday, but let's reiterate. There is no Tumah Tahara when it comes to an Ovei Kochavim. A non-Jew does not have, it's not in the Parsha of Tumah Tahara. In other words, what the Chachamim do is they put a ban, again, it's to create distance, separation between us and them. And so what they're going to do is they're going to label him a Zav, or in this case, right, no, a Zav. And basically it creates separation between us and them. That means that the Gzera Darabanan means that anything they touch will become Tameh. And it used to be back in the day, like this created separation. Meaning the fact that if they touch my food and the food becomes tameh, so I know to you and I it doesn't motivate, but back in the day when Tumah Tahara was carefully watched, this is something that created separation. Shelo yeh tanug Yisrael ragel atzlo b'mishkav zachar. And the Gemara says, and the reason why is because if our children and their children become too close to one another, so it'll lead to mishkav zachar, it'll lead to sodomy. Am Rabbi Zeret Tzar Gadol Hayelo Eitzel Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Asi Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yana Eitzel Rabbi Nasan Ben Amram, Rabbi Nasan Ben Amram Eitzel Rabbi. So each one of these Amorayim, going all the way back to Rabbi, Basically, we're all bothered. In other words, the Gemara uses the word sar. They were pained. Meaning, they really tried to get their heads wrapped around this idea of what age. Okay, so at what age is it that this Gzeirah d'Rabbanan now is going to be enacted? V'amali ben yomo. So the answer that eventually comes back from Rebbe is a day old. Meaning, the moment they're born, so they have now this this Gzeirah d'Rabbanan that they are as of. Now I went to Rabbi Chia. Now, despite the fact that Rabbi's a Rabbi, meaning I know that statement doesn't sound smart, but Rabbi was a Rabbi too, Rabbi Chia and Rav, and so. But anyway, but Rabbi said the Tum Aziva is already when they're a day old, and Rabbi Chia says no, it's 9 years of age. You're right, Tisha Shanim B'Yom Echad. Now I went back to Rabbi and I reported what Rabbi Chia said, and Rabbi conceded. And he said, Amar li hanach divarai vechos divrei Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi eventually said, you know what, he's right. In other words, I'm wrong, he's right. The age is nine years and one day. And why? And the Gemara now points out, top of Lamed Zayin, Lamed Aleph, ho v'roi labiyah. Because again, what is the concern? The concern is that they are so shut off bezima. Their morals and their principles are so decrepit, so depraved, so that they're going to engage in relations. But in other words, when we're talking about relations, we're talking about the age that you could first have relations. And so 9 years and one day for a boy is the age that the chachamim always give in terms of when his bia is going to be a bia. Let's keep in mind, meaning in terms of him accepting punishment for any act that he does, so he's not punishable until 13 years of age, right? And for other areas in halacha, sometimes it's 20, but in other words, 13 is where he's a bar mitzvah, and he's subject to ownership. But at 9 years, however, his bia is going to be considered a bia, and so therefore, if the concern is that these types of relationships will lead to sodomy, and we're looking to protect our children, so 9 years is when they are now going to have this gzera of being a zava. Or Zav.
Something like this must have happened.
Agreed.
Why don't we say the same thing by a woman?
So the Gemara says, very good. So Am Ravina Hilka Chatinokas of Eres Kochavim Vaskim Oshanim V'Yamechad Hovru Lebia Mitamin Ami Beziva. So the Gemara says, so now that we know that we're looking for the age of Bia, so we know for a boy it's 9, and we know for a girl the age is 3. So if the age of Bia for a girl is the age of 3, again, it's just basically when her Bia is going to be have status of a bia. So if that's true, so then are we going to now say that for a girl, and the Gemara is assuming that the gzera d'rabbanan not only is for boys, for girls as well. So does that mean that her age is going to be 3? So the Gemara says, "Hol v'ru l'bia mitamei nami b'ziva pshita." So the Gemara says, I think that point's obvious, right? So the Gemara says, "No, not necessarily." Ma'od detema ha'yadol ergule v'halo yadol ergule kamash malan. So the Gemara says, "Well, the havamina would have been you can make the following distinction." At 9 years of age, so already now this child has, you know, some intelligence. Obviously, he's not a bar achi, but nevertheless, though, in other words, he can incite and sodomize and basically, you know, coerce slash convince, you know, one of his peers. It's a boy, but one of his peers to come along, come inside, here, come into the house. But 3 years of age, is she really going to be able to manipulate anybody? So the havamina would be that, look, even though halachically the age of bia for a girl is 3, but she can't really manipulate somebody at 3 years of age. That's the havamina. So kamash malan, the Gemara says, so what we're doing now is we're dispelling that havamina. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the Gemara regarding the various gezeras that were made in order to make sure that we don't get tempted by Yetzirah regarding non-Jewish women, and regarding also protecting our children from acts of sodomy. Okay. We are now going to continue on the oil discussion.
Based on the concept that then there's too much zaka in these guys, so how could we have such a bottle of wine that even...
Again, this, we're talking about tumah tahara. So in other words, we eat food in a state of tumah all the time. Anything we touch is tumah. We're tumah meis, all of us. So we touch... Right. I mean, the gzera certainly extended even beyond the Chorban Bayis Sheni. I mean, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia are talking about the parameters in which how old they are. So even after Chorban Bayis Sheni, they were holding by it. But in other words, they were still careful about Tumah Tahara even after Chorban Bayis Sheni. How long afterwards? I can only guess. But in other words, bismanino in our days, like tumah tahara, is something which unfortunately is not, it's not, you know, we eat food in a state of tumah. Okay, we are now going back to oil. So again, let's go back to what we know. We had a Mishnah back on Lamed Hamid Beis. The Mishnah went through various gzeiros de rabbanan that were made, 10 in total, in that Mishnah, in which the bread and the milk and the oil, some staple foods, some simple staple foods. So if it was prepared by a non-Jew, you can't eat it. And the overarching theme of the Mishnah, as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, is it's chasnus. Meaning, again, these are all preventative measures creating separation between us and them so that we don't intermarry. Okay. So the, but when it comes to the, so the first three things mentioned in the Mishnah was milk, bread, and oil. So milk, where we discussed already very briefly. Bread, also, the Gemara spoke about. And the Gemara now is going to be talking about oil. And oddly enough, the oil discussion is, from the Gemara standpoint, the most interesting of them. Why is it so interesting? Because in the Mishnah, we had a line in the Mishnah. Now Rashi says, even though the line is correct, it's true, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah, it shouldn't be part of the Girus of the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that the court of Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, repealed the ban on oil. Meaning that there was a gzera made on oil. Now again, who made the gzera? As we learned yesterday, Machlokas. It could go all the way back to Daniel. Or it could be an issue of Tarfus, but whatever the case is. There was a gzera made in oil, and then there was a repeal of the gzera. Okay, so, with that in mind, let's now start on the top, towards the top of Lam Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara continues with this discussion. So Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, now as I mentioned already, we did the Rashi together yesterday. Rav Yehuda Nisiyah is a grandson to Rav Yehuda Anasi. Right, Rav Yehuda Anasi, was Mesader Mishnayos, and so obviously you're going to find his name in the Mishnayos. We do find his name in the Mishnayos, and then you go two generations later, his grandson is Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, also the leader of the Jewish people. Obviously, we see that by the word Nisiyah. So as we're going to now learn together, so he was the one who was matir the oil, which is why, by the way, Rashi took it out of the Mishnah, because we're not going to have an act done by a court that lived two generations after the Mishnah was finally edited. Okay, but anyway. So the Gemara tells a story with where Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah was resting on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai, meaning basically Rabbi Simlai was his attendant, and he was leaning on him so that he could walk. And Amar Leh, and the conversation goes like this. Simlai lo ayiti amesha bebeis mezrish kishi yitano sa shemen. So he says to his attendant, look, Rabbi Simlai, you really missed a great night last night in the Beis Medrash. It was an exciting night. What did we do last night? We repealed the ban on oil. So, and you missed it. Amar lo, so Rabbi Simlai, what's his reaction? He says, Rabbi, I'm so proud of you, and can you do me a favor? Do you do requests? Meaning, I'd like it if you could also repeal another ban as well. And Amar lo, b'yamin etatir afes hapas. So he says, do me a favor. You're into now repealing various gzeres that were made by the Chachamim. So oil is good, right? Yeshikawach, bread. The ban on bread that's produced by a non-Jew, can you lift that as well? So Amar lo in kein karlan beis din ha-shariyeh. The reaction of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah is fascinating. He says no. Because if I also now repeal the ban on bread as well, so then I'm going to get the name, the description, the appellation of beis din ha-shariyeh. I'll be a beis din that matters. And I don't want to have that kind of reputation. So it's not a new phenomenon, not at all. It's not a new phenomenon where somebody comes out with a heter and comes out with another heter and, what is he doing, right?
But didn't they also say that the retailer said it takes a lot more intellectual prowess to make out that matter?
Yes. So the right, koach de heter adif. Okay, that's right. Right, that's right. In other words, apparently this conversation tells us that there was an ability, meaning clearly, by Rabbi Simlai making the suggestion, clearly there at least was an ability to repeal the ban on bread. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says, no, I do not want to be called a Beis Din HaShariyeh. Did not. And now, and this is going to take us on a lengthy tangent, but let's go. The Gemara is going to point out, he's not the first one historically who was called a Beis Din HaShariyeh, meaning some Beis Din that just simply matted, just handed out heterim. Who got that label first? So as we're going to learn now together, Rav Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreida. And what we're learning now together is the Mishnah Adios. This Mishnah Adios, which comes up a couple times in Shas, this is We saw this back in the beginning of Pesachim, in the first perek, towards the end. So you remember over there, a lot of difficult gemaras over there regarding Tumah Tahara. We're going to see some of those gemaras today, thank God. So let's first learn together the Mishnah and Adios. Did not. Hey, Rav Yossi ben Yoazi Shreda. So everyone knows the Mishnah and Adios. So it's a compilation of Mishnayos, which are really testimonies. Testimonies of things which are, in other words, I remember this, I recount this, and various Tanayim gave various testimonies of things that they remember. So when you're learning the Mishnah and Adios, so you're all over the place. Literally all over the place. Because there's no theme to the Mishnah of Adios, it's just simply various testimonies that were reported. So the Gemara over here gives the reporting of the following. Rav Yossi ben Yoazer each Shreda. Now, one other introductory note, and that is, who is Rav Yossi ben Yoazer? So he's one of the Zugos. Meaning we know that from the beginning of Vaisheni, we have Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was Shayari Knesset Segedola. I'm sorry, Shayari Anshe Knesset Segedola. He was one of the last of the Anshe Knesset Segedola who brought in the Tkufa of Vaisheni. And then we know from there until Shamayin Hillel, so you had five Zugos, you had five pairs of Tamid HaChamim. One served as the Nasi, and the other served as the Av Beis Din. So Yosef Ben Yoezer is one of the earlier Zugos. So in other words, historically, he is earlier, significantly earlier than, let's say, Rav Yehuda Nasiya. Rav Yehuda Nasiya lived after Chorban Bayis Sheni, significantly after Chorban Bayis Sheni. So years, centuries separate the two, but the point is still going to be the same point. Hold. Excellent question. Just hold. So, Hayd Rav Yosef Ben Yoizi Shreda Al Ail Kamsa Dachin. Number one, there was a certain grasshopper. It was called Ail Kamsa, and we'll try to identify it a little bit better later on. It's not going to help us, but okay, we'll try anyway. So, there was a particular grasshopper. Questionable whether it was a kosher grasshopper or not, and Yosef Ben Yoizi says it's kosher. Dachin. Two, Amashke Beis Mitpachaya Dachin. Liquids in the Azara. Now, what liquids are there going to be in the Azara? Blood and water. Blood coming from the animal when you shock the animal, and water when they clean the animal, so there was water, so there was blood and water all over the floor of the Azara. So that those liquids, the blood and the water, are dachin. They're not susceptible to tumma. I'll explain that a lot better later on. And finally, al dikarv lemisav masav. Somebody touches a dead body is going to be tummy. Now, on this third one, you have to wonder some of the most basic questions. Number one, that's not a heter. That's a chumrah. Number two, that's not a psak. That's a pasuk in the Torah. When you come into contact with a dead person, or if you come into contact with somebody who came into contact with a dead person, you are tummy. So it's A, it's not a heter, and B, like it's not even a psak. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So stay tuned because that also is going to get explained a little bit later on as well. So, but anyway, all these heterim came from Yosef ben Yoezer, v'karilei Yosef Sharya. And then he got the label. He was called Yosef Sharya, Yosef the one who permits. And so basically now, with that historical context, so Rav Yehuda Nasiya says, look, if I now create another heter regarding bread, and I repeal the ban on bread, so I'm going to get the same label as well. Amalei Hasam Sharatlas Umar Sharachada. So Rabbi Simai makes what is a very simple and good point to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Well, he came out with three heterim. Right now, you are only matar oil. That's one heter. So I understand you come up with three heterim, so you're gonna get the label. But right now, you only got one. And v'ishari mar chada achrita akati tartan huda havyan. And even if you give out one more heter, so that then you're up to number two. And again, really, the concern for getting this label is only on the third. So Amalei Anu Shari Achrita. So Rav Yehuda Nasiya says, what do you mean? I already have my second heter out there. What's my second heter out there? Ma'i did not. So the second heter of Rav Yehuda Nasiya is based on the following Mishnah in Gittin. The most basic rule when it comes to Gittin, one of the most basic rules, is Ein Get L'Achar Misa. If a man gives a get to his wife, and he says, look, you know when the get is going to take effect after I die? The get is not going to be a good get. She's not a divorcee, rather she's a widow. And of course, the big difference between being a divorcee and a widow, halachically, is of course yibum. In other words, is there going to now be on her a requirement, an obligation to do yibum with her brother-in-law? Or chalitza? But in other words, if she's a divorcee, no. And if she's a widow, yes. So the Mishnah over here describes now the following scenario. Zegitechim labat mikana 12 chodesh, umeis besoch 12 chodesh, ein oget. So the Mishnah over here has the following. A man gives a get to his wife and he says, if I don't come back within 12 months, So then the get will be effective. Now it's important, to ask, when is the get going to be effective? When is the chalosa get? Well, it sounds like it's going to be at the end of the 12 months. And if he dies sometime during the interim, so the get now is not going to be a good get. Because again, the principle of ain't get lachamisa. On this Mishnah, v'tzni Allah, we have the following braisa. Rabbi Sinu Utsiri Linase. You know, the rabbis allowed it. Allowed her to get married. Now, v'amrin amani Rabbi Sinu am Rabbi Yehuda am Shmuel beginu desharo mashcha. You know which basin it is? Our basin. Meaning the basin of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. The one who permitted oil is the same basin who permitted this woman to get married.
When?
Huh?
Now.
Meaning?
Before the husband died, obviously.
Not before the husband died. In other words, she can't get married then. When the husband dies, she can get married. Now, we'll explain why right now. So, Savri Lakar of Yossi, the Amr Zman Shoshtam Ochiach Alav. So, now, on what basis? Meaning, if you think about it, there should be no basis for her to get married. Let's consider. He said to her, the get will take effect if I don't come back within 12 months. And he dies within the 12 months. So now, 12 months come and go. Is he back? No. For good reason. He's not alive. But in other words, but can the get now take effect? Of course the answer is no. He's dead. Ain't get lachemisa. So what's the basis? So the basis has to be that what we're saying now is that the get is effective retroactive to the time it was written. Yeah, but that wasn't clearly stipulated. As the Gemara is about to point out a little bit later on, if you say the word me'akshav, so then that's good. So then you're saying that retroactive to now, the get is going to be effective, and now I'm alive. Okay, so what is the basis for this heter of Rav Yehuda Nisiya? So it's the principle of Zmano Shoshtar Mochiach Halav. Every get that's written, there's a date written into the get. And what Rav Yehuda Nisiya is introducing as a chiddush, as a real big chiddush, is that even though you're just writing the date in the get as per basic instruction for every single get, but nevertheless what that date can also serve as is basically a way of marking that it will be effective from today. It's as if you're saying the words me'achshav, if you stamp the date on the get. And so now, even though he didn't say me'achshav, by virtue of the fact that there's a date on the get, it's ki'ilu you're saying me'achshav. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, based on a ruling of Rav Yossi. Now, by the way, the ruling of Rav Yossi was not said regarding get. The ruling of Rav Yossi was said in other areas of halacha, and basically Rav Yehuda Nisiya is taking that idea of Rav Yossi and transposing it now to the area of get. If you want more on that, on where Rav Yossi originally stated this idea of Zman HaShogem Mochir Chalav, take a look at Rashi, take a look at the Gemara Baba Basra. For time consideration, however, we're going to move on. V'amar Rabbi Abba, b'reid Rabbi Chabar Abba, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, hora v'lo hodu lo. Now, we certainly know that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi came up with such a heter. Was it accepted? So the Amoraim debate this issue. According to Rabbi Abba, it was not accepted. Right? And we have two versions of who didn't accept it. V'lo hodu lo kol sha'ato, v'amar la kol siyato. Either during his time period or it means his colleagues, whichever one, meaning, but according to Rabbi Abba, it was not accepted. This heter of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Only begs the question, by the way, if this heter was not accepted, so now how many heterim does he have now on his record? So he only has now really only one heter on his record. He only has the one of the oil. And if this one is not accepted, and if this one is not accepted, so then what was his concern? Meaning when the question was, well, why don't you give a second heter? So his answer was, I already have a second heter. According to Rabbi Abba, he didn't have a second heter. Meaning he issued a second heter, but it wasn't accepted. Okay, worthwhile consideration. We're going to go on in the Gemara. So Amale Rabbi Elazar la usaba kishirita la alta shirita de lo asu, odim la achar shem asachodesh da ikayim le tanai. Gemara has a really interesting question. I say it's interesting. It's much easier to see one side of the question than the other side of the question. Look, in this case where he issues a get to his wife, and he says, if I don't come back within a year, the get will be effective. And according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, because the get is stamped with a date, so therefore it will go retroactive to the time of the writing of the get. And therefore it's going to be good. So now, let's say, 6 months after having written the get, the man dies. Okay. So is he going to come back after 12 months? So my best guess is going to be no. He's not going to come back within 12 months. Okay, in other words, barring Tchias HaMesim, the man's not coming back. Okay. So now she will be, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, she will be permitted to remarry. She's considered divorcee. Is she considered divorcee the moment the man dies, her husband dies? Or does she have to wait till the end of the 12 months? Now, it is much easier to say, to see one side of the question. Notably, she can get married right away after he dies. Meaning, well, look, what is the Tanai? The Tanai is, if I don't come back within 12 months, you know he's not coming back. You know it. And so, does she have to now wait till the end of the 12 months? And the Gemara raises this as a question. Now, the Gemara says, okay, it's a good question, but you know, you could have asked the question, not on the heter of Yehuda Nasiya, which is, we just learned, somewhat controversial, but what we could have said is on a very simple Mishnah and Gittin. Let's learn the Mishnah together. So, so the Mishnah in Gittin describes a scenario in which he says the words me'achshav. So once he says the words me'achshav, this get will be effective immediately if I don't come back within the next 12 months. So coming back within the next 12 months is just a tanai, it's just a condition. But of course it goes back retroactive to the time that he issued the get. He said the word me'achshav. So here we have a very clear-cut, non-controversial case in which, as long as he didn't come back within 12 months, the get's going to be good. And now, let's ask the same question. And now, question is very simple. So if he died, let's say, 6 months after the get was issued, so now we know he's not coming back, and therefore she should be mutter to marry immediately, after the 6 months are over. I'm sorry, after he died. Or no, maybe she has to wait until the year is over, because he said, he verbalized that the get is only going to be good get if I don't come back within the next 12 months, and he said the word 12 months. So rather than asking this question on the case of Rav Yehuda Nasiya, which is controversial and really dependent on whether you subscribe to Rav Yossi and whether you could take Rav Yossi's principle and apply to Gittin, instead of doing that, just ask the question on the Mishnah Gittin. So the Gemara says, "Enachinami ela mishum dahavi ba'hu minyana." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, of course he could have done that, but it happens to be that he was at the vote, meaning at the vote of Rav Yehuda Nasiya." So he asked the question there, but enachinami, of course he could have asked the question on the Mishnah and Gittin. Now for a moment, let's just think this through. Meaning, as I pointed out, it's really easy to see one side of the question, it's really difficult to see the other side of the question. Meaning, again, let's ask the question. The man says, me'achshav, that from this point, the get will be effective if I don't come back within 12 months. And then that man dies, 6 months later. Does she have to wait another 6 months, yes or no? So again, the simplest way to look at it is, of course, she doesn't have to wait. Because the get will take place as long as he didn't come back within 12 months. You know he's not coming back. He's not. So shouldn't she be able to get married immediately? And then the Gemara entertains the idea that no, she should wait until the 12 months are over. Why? Why does she have to wait? In fact, Tosfos asks this very question. Tosfos top Tosfos for im tomar pshita de la alter himuteres to miyach shemes harayit hatanaik mekuyim de lo yashiv ol lebeso. You know he's not coming back. So she should get back, she should get married immediately after her husband's dead. So Tosfos suggests for Yesh Lamar, and maybe Tosfos says over here there's an opening for gzeira, because if we allowed her to marry after he died, she in the next case over, so what's going to happen is that she'll get married even before he dies. It's an interesting answer of Tosfos. It's really difficult to understand talking about gzeira on something which, how often does this happen? Okay.
Nobody's going to get mad if he knows he's lying.
Right. Okay, so anyway, so it is definitely worthwhile to consider, like, what is the other side of that? And Tosfos gives a suggestion, and you know, I'm sure there are other suggestions out there. Amar Abaye. We're back in the Gemara. We're still conversing about the case of, he writes a get for his wife, and he says, if I don't come back within 12 months, And the question on the table is, from what point is the get effective? If it's lemafreya, if it's retroactive, that's good, because he was alive at the time. If it's not lemafreya, so that's not good, because then the get is going to be effective after he's dead, and ain't get lachamisa. So Amar Abai, so Abai says, let's go over now the two sides of this discussion, of this debate. Hakomodim lechishetetz chama minartika lechinafka kamarla. Look, if let's say the man says to his wife, the get will be good, but only when the sun rises. Okay, it's the same discussion, instead of talking about a year, we're just talking about one night. But in other words, if he says, look, here's when the get's going to be effective. In other words, I'm writing it now. He writes it sometime in the middle of the night or the beginning of the night. And he says the get will be effective when the sun rises. So there he's very clear. And therefore, if the man dies at night, the get's not going to be good because he stated clearly that the get will only be effective when the sun rises. Fine. If he says almanas on condition, well, according to Rav Huna, what that means is that may achshav, the get is effective now, but only on the condition that the sun rises tomorrow morning. So there, the effectiveness of the get goes back to the time when he wrote it and issued it, and then the sun rising in the morning is just simply a condition. And if he dies in the course of the evening, the get will be a good get, because it goes back retroactive. So in other words, in those two cases, it's clear. Lo nechleku, the only debate that exists between Rav Yehuda Nasiya and the others is only in the following circumstance. Ela b'im teitse, if the sun rises. Now, of course, we know the sun's going to rise, right? Something, one of those things we can count on. But the formulation in which he says it is if the sun rises. Rav Yehuda Nasiya sava like Rav Yossi Damar Zman Shal Shtar Mochei Chalav. V'havelei kemei ayom im meisi. Kemei achshav im meisi. And so Rav Yehuda Nasiya says, well, look, the words im teitse, somewhat ambiguous whether he meant it retroactive to the time of writing or that the effectiveness will not take place until the sun rises. And because he's using a language of ambiguity, so you know what can clear things up? The date that's stamped on the get. Meaning subscribing to the principle of Yossi, of Zman Shoshtar Mochei Chalav. So that is the opinion of Rav Yehuda Nasiya. And V'Rabbanan, Leis Lehuda Rav Yossi, V'Havalei Kizeh Gitech Im Meisi Greida. And the Chachamim would disagree, they don't subscribe to the principle of Rav Yossi. And so as a result of that, we view this get as only being effective when the sun rises, and if he dies in the course of the evening, so it's going to be a get la'achar misa and ein get la'achar misa. Okay. So far, what do we have right now? A discussion, or today's daf, if I can summarize, it's really simple. A dialogue between Rav Yehuda Nasiya and his attendant. The Rav Yehuda Nasiya says, you know, last night we were matir oil, I get a yeshter kawach, and so his attendant, Rabbi Simlai, said, okay, how about bread? And he says, no, I can't do that because then I'll be labeled a Beis Din that is Matir. And you remember Rav Yossi, Ishreda, who was Matir three things, and he got the label of Yosef Sharya, and I don't want that label. And all we've done so far is gone over the second heter that was issued by Rav Yehuda Nasiya, which is the case of the get, where as long as there's a date stamped on the get, and he uses an ambiguous language, it goes back retroactive to the time of the writing of the get. And so that is now the two heterim Rav Yehuda Nasiya. And if he's matur bread, that'll be his third heter. Okay. As long as we mention the Mishnah in Idios, so what we're going to be doing now for today, for the rest of the daf today, is we're going to go back to that Mishnah in Idios and we're going to try to understand it. There were three heterim that were issued by Rav Yossi, Ben Yo'ezer Ish Sreda. And so let's now go through the three heterim. What was the controversy? What was his thought process? So let's go through all three. The Gemara starts off with number one, Gufa. Well, first we're going to just read the whole Mishnah again. Hey, Yossi ben Yoezer Yishreda alayo kamsa dachen v'amishka beitz mitbechaya dachen v'al diakar of lemesa mas'ev v'karele Yosef Sharya. Okay, so we read the Mishnah again, and now let's go over each one of them one by one. My ayo kamsa. So first is the grasshopper. A little bit of background in order to understand the grasshopper talk. You and I don't eat grasshoppers. There are some that are kosher. Okay, it happens to be, I'm not interested, I'm not curious. Generally speaking, I do have curiosity, but this one is not a curiosity to me. But hopefully, we have been here b'yameinu when Mashiach comes, so we're going to be able to re-identify which grasshoppers are the kosher ones. And for those who are interested, enjoy. What are the simanim of kosher grasshoppers? So it is a Mishnah in Chulin in the third parak in Eilu Treifus, and the Mishnah notes that the Torah identifies that there are four grasshoppers that are kosher, and now what we look at are the similarities, the common denominator between those four grasshoppers, and they now will identify what are other kosher grasshoppers, as long as they share similarities. And what is going to be at issue is as follows. The identity of a kosher grasshopper, now I'm saying this academically. I literally, you put a grasshopper in front of me, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. So this is strictly from my standpoint academic. I mean, it's Torah, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, like, in other words, empirically, I don't know what I'm talking about. So in other words, it's got to have four legs, it's got to have four wings, it's got to have antennas, and it's got to have the wings covering the majority of its body. That is the Mishnah in Chulin. And now, over here, another question, which is the following. Well, look, now we can go back to the Gemara, and now we can see the Gemara inside. We'll appreciate the Gemara a lot more. So, we're talking about the grasshopper. Ayo kamsa dechein, sorry. My ayo kamsa. Which grasshopper is that? What are we talking about? So, Rav Papa Amar Shoshiba, and Rav Chia Bar Amay Mishmeh De'ula Amar Sosbil. So, there were two types of grasshoppers in the times of the Amoraim, and so Rav Papa and Rav Chia Bar Amay are arguing which one did Rav Yossi Ben Yoezer be matir. Now, Rav Papa, we'll start with Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar Shoshiba. Now, he points to a certain type of grasshopper. V'kamifligi barosha aruch. Now, this grasshopper meets all the criteria that I just described. The legs, the antennas, the wings. But you know what? There is another criteria not mentioned in the Mishnah, but if you look at the four grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah, you'll notice that their heads are all roundish in nature. In other words, it's not a straight, elongated head. They're all roundish in nature. And again, I'm saying all this academically. So to me, all this is conceptual. But if you look at the four grasshoppers, their heads are roundish. Meanwhile, this particular grasshopper, although it's got the legs, the antennas, and the wings, but its head is elongated. Mar Savarosha Aruch Asar, Mar Savarosha Aruch Mutar. Well, the four grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah, they have a round head, they don't have an elongated head. And even though it didn't make it into the Mishnah and Chulin, but the controversy is, well, if all the heads of the grasshoppers in the Torah are all roundish, so therefore, in order for it to be kosher, it's got to have a roundish head as well. And the other side of it is, no, it's not one of the simanim. Meaning the simanim are only legs, antennas, and wings. Those are the only simanim that we have to care about. That's the controversy. Rabbi Chia Bar Amay Mishmeh De'ul Amar Sosbil. We now turn to Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Now, according to Rabbi Chia, the grasshopper that Yossi ben Yoezer was being matir was the sosbil. Barosha aruch ulam lo pligi daaser. Look, if it's an elongated head and not a roundish head, everyone agrees that that's going to be aser. Over here, hacha bechnaf of chofin esruba yidei atzchak kemiflegim. Marsaver ruba kol dehubinan, marsaver ruba deminkarbinan. Look, of one of the traits, one of the character traits that identify kosher grasshopper, it's going to have the wings covering the majority of its body. So over here, do we mean just covering the majority of its body or comfortably covering the majority of the body? And the Gemara says that's the machlokis. And Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer was pointing to the sosbil. This particular grasshopper just made it. The wings just covered the majority of its body. He felt that was okay, and the Chachamim disagreed. Okay. That was grasshopper talk. Moving along. Mashke beit matbechaya dachain. Now we're up to the liquids in the azara. My dachain. Now we're talking now liquids of being not becoming susceptible to tuma. So Rav amar dachain mamash ushmul amar dachain latame acherim. Avatumas atzman yesh bahem. Rav says that the liquids in the azara, as I mentioned earlier, we're talking about blood. We're talking about water. Blood when you shech the animal, the blood comes out of the animal. Water when we are cleaning the animal in the azara. So obviously we're using water to hose it down. So according to Rav, the heter of Yossi ben Yoezer is that those liquids are totally impervious to tumah. They are not susceptible to tumah at all. They don't even become tameh. Now you got to wonder, liquids not becoming tameh, read the Torah, seems pretty clear that liquids do become tameh. Rashi addresses this, the Gemara in Pesachim addresses this, you have to read the Pesukim otherwise. Anyway, according to Rav, they're not susceptible to tuma at all. Why did Yossi ben Yoezer enact such an, issue such a heter? It's really simple. Because in the Bris HaMikdash, we don't want proliferation of tuma. If the tumas mashkin, according to Rav, is only a din derabanan, well, let's waive that in the Bris HaMikdash so that there will be no proliferation of tuma in the Bris HaMikdash. Okay. Rav amar dachin mamash kasavar tumas mashkin derabanan v'chigaz derabanan tumas mashkin d'alma. And the Chachamim made gzera on Tumas Mashkin, but that's only outside, meaning in the world in general, but not in the Beis Hamikdash. Ava b'mashke be'mit b'chay lo gaz rabbanan. Shmuel amar dachem latam echerim v'tumas atzman geish b'hem. Now Shmuel says no. the heter of Yossi ben Yoezer is only that these liquids cannot transmit tumah to something else, but they themselves do become tummy. Now, why? Because kasavet tumas mashkin daraisa latame acherim derabanan vechigaz rabanan b'mashkin da'ama da'ama b'mashkin be'emetz b'chaylo gazer. Meaning, you can't be matir tumah on mashkin. Meaning, in terms of becoming tame, because that's a din daraisa. So the only thing the chachamim can control is whether or not it can transmit tumah to other things. And finally, al dikarv le'maisa misav v'karv le'yosef sharia. The third heter is that if you touch a dead body, so you become tamei, and the Gemara now asks the obvious questions. Yosef asra mi ba'ale. That's not a heter. And further, that's an isser. And furthermore, v'od araisahi. And that's not a gzera d'rabbanan. It's not even open to controversy. It's a din d'araisa. V'yichsiv v'chol asher yigal p'nei asada b'chal acher v'obemeis v'chule. Coming into contact with mace makes a person tame, period. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Like, what is he issuing a ruling on the matter? So the Gemara explains, the araisa dikarv tame, dikarv 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 tahor. V'asu ina v'gazer afilu dikarv v'dikarv. So the Gemara says like this. If you touch the body itself, your tame. But let's say you touch somebody who touched the body. So what Yossi ben Yoezer said is that such a person is tahor. The Gemara says, what? V'as iu v'ukme adaraisa dikar b'dikar nami daraisa u'gzichsiv. V'cholashi ga bo ha'tame yitma. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? A person who touches a mace, he now is an avatama. He then touches somebody else, or somebody else touches him, there's a transmission of tumah. Like, what are you talking about? So the Gemara explains like this. Amru Rabbanan kamei derava mishmei demarzusha beri derav nachman damar mishmei derav nachman de araisa. Dikar b'dikarev b'chiborim tumas shiva, shelo b'chiborim tumas erev. V'asu ina v'gazer afil shelo b'chiborim tumas shiva. V'asu iu v'ukme ada araisa. Okay, so I know I just read a lot, but let me explain. Basically it goes like this. If a person touches a mace itself, the human remains itself, the person now is tumas shiva. He is now tamei for 7 days, and the only way he becomes tahor is through the process of paraduma. If a person touches a person who touches a dead person, so he is only tamei for 1 day. In other words, that's what's called tumas erev. So in other words, I came into contact with a mace, and I touch another person, that person that I touch is only tamei for 1 day. And he doesn't need the paraduma, he simply goes to the mikvah, and by the evening, he will be tahor. Okay. Those are clear. What if a person touches a person while that person is touching a dead body? And basically, in other words, now that we have electricity, it's really easy to envision that while the person is touching the mace, and while I'm touching that person, so now basically he is a conduit of tumah, and it's ki'ilu, I'm touching the mace itself. Right. So now, the question on the table is as follows. This is what's called now tumas chiburin. Tumas chiburin in this context. So now, is there such a circuit that's created? And so now, is that person now who's not directly touching the mace, but touching a person who's touching the mace, is that person tamei shiva? That's the question on the table. And to which now the Gemara is saying, this is what Yossi ben Yoezer was matir. Meaning that if b'chiburin, it's tamei shiva, shelo b'chiburim, if disconnected, you're only tamei for 1 day. The chachamim came along. They made a gzera that even touching somebody who is not currently touching a mace is tamei for 7 days. Meaning, it's shelo b'chiburin, but the chachamim made a gzera that such a person is tamei for 7 days. And what Yossi ben Yoezer did is he brought it back to the din d'araisa. That a person is only tamei for 7 days if either A, he touches a mace himself, or B, he touches somebody who is currently, go ahead, the word current with the double entendre. We use currently touching somebody who's touching the mace. Okay. So the Gemara says that's what Yossi ben Yoezer did, is he brought it back to the din d'araisa. But if I touch somebody who is not currently touching a mace, so I'm only tamei for 1 day, as per the din d'araisa. So he brought back the din d'araisa, and that's the heter. The heter is that if you're touching somebody, you touch the mace, but he's not currently holding on to touching the mace, so you're only tamei for 1 day.
So just
another tumor that touches a person, the person becomes also another tumor.
Come to me afterwards. I'll run down all the rules. But that's the heter. I want to finish the Gemara right now. The ukma adaraisa daraisa mahi dechsiv. And now the Gemara just simply takes us through the psukim. And the psukim read hanogeya b'mesachol nefesh adam v'tami shivas yamim. A person touches a dead body's tummy for 7 days. Zuksiv echolasha yigabo hatame yitma. Anyone who touches the tummy is going to be tummy. Uksiv hanefesh anogeya titame ada erev. And the person who touches another person after having come into contact with a mace is tummy for 1 day. So hakeitzav. So can we make up our mind? You touch a person who touched a dead body. Are you tummy for 7 days or are you tummy for 1 day? And it depends. When I'm touching that person, he's currently touching the dead body, I'm tummy for 7 days. If I'm touching a person who touched a dead body, but now is disconnected, so I'm only tummy for 1 day. Don't hang these empty jugs on Rav Nachman. Meaning, don't put this on Rav Nachman. Meaning, Rav Nachman says, that's not the heter of Yossi ben Yoezer. You got it wrong. What was the heter of Yossi ben Yoezer? What was the third heter? The idea of Safik Tuma Birshus Rabin, Hitter Lehem. The Gemara says, what do you mean he was Matir? That's a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It's Va'ayuchasam Misota Garmin Allah. It's almost like a combination of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and it's learned from Sota. Masota Birshus Hayachid, Av Tuma Birshus Hayachid. Meaning, as we say all the time throughout Shas, by the Sota, we don't know what happened in that room. That room is the Rishus HaYachid. What do we say? That she is Tamei. That's Safik Tamei Rishus HaYachid. The converse is that if it was the Rishus HaRabim, and we don't know what happened, she would be Mutter, or I should say better, Muteris. Since the Torah uses the word Tumah as it relates to a Sota, we're going to transpose those rules over to the world of Tumah. Safik Tumah Rishus Yachid is Tameh. Safik Tumah Rishus Rabim is Tahor. And Am Rav Yochanan Halacha Vein Morin Kain. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand. Yossi Ben Yoezer issued a heter? He didn't issue a heter. That's simply the rules of the Torah. The Gemara says, no. I'll tell you what Yossi Ben Yoezer did. We know Safik Tumah Rishus Rabim is Tahor. But we shouldn't publicize it. And you know what Yossi Ben Yoezer did? He publicized it. He publicized it. Excuse me. And in fact, not only did he publicize it, but actually, he went out to the market and he put in posts and he said, from here to the post is the Rishus HaRabim, from the post interior is the Rishus HaYachid. If Tumah happens out here, if Suffolk is Tahor. If a Suffolk Tumah happened out in there, it's Tame. Kiyasu Kame de Rabbi Yanai, Amar Luhu, Hamaya Bashikata, de Benahara Zila Tvulu. Question came to Rabbi Yanai. A person, had a case of Suffolk Tumah. And his response was, you know, there's a spring over there, you know, just to go take a quick, go take a quick dunk over there. It was Suffolk Tumah, it was Rishus HaRabim. Okay, he didn't want to broadcast the idea that such a person would be Tahor. So he told people, you know what, go tofel the mikvah, can't hurt. But in other words, that was the heter of Yossi ben Yoezer, that he broadcasted this information. Okay, and now that takes us to the end of the daf, and we finish now with a better understanding of the three heterim of Yossi ben Yoezer.